What'd they do? It says in verse 20, so the people shouted. When the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Well, what do we have? We have the same thing. We have God's part and man's part all over again. Well, what did God do? God said, I have given Jericho. Jericho was a fortified city. It was one that was a massive fortress. Here they were without a bit of army equipment like the others had round about them. They came with only the promise of God, which was more than that army equipment. God said, I have given it. It's yours. Now, were there conditions? Absolutely. They had to march around, blow the trumpet, shout, exactly as God intended. Not just part of that, but all of that was to be done. Now, what did the people need to have? They needed to have faith. They needed to believe that this plan was going to work, because it wouldn't work after a physical way. You've never seen any kind of a fortress overtaken like that. That wasn't in any World War II or World War I or Civil War plans that I've ever seen. Why did it work? It worked because that was an action that was there tied with the grace of God. God was the one who provided the power. When they believed that, then what happened? Well, the walls fell down. Now I want to ask you, what caused the walls to fall down? Well, the Hebrew writer answers that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. He says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. After. Now, how could it be that they were ones who had that wall fall down by faith after it was circled around? Did they have to have faith to start out that process 7 days before? Sure they did. If it was at the point of faith only, it would have fallen down then. But it did fall down by faith. What kind of faith? A faith that did not shrink back, but a faith that was a life of faith that did what God said in order to bring about the promises that were there. They have to be tied together. That was so in this particular case. And that was so in the case that was present of us as well, as we'll see. What is it? At what point did those walls fall down? They fell down by grace. They fell down by faith. But that was completed at the point of obedience, wasn't it? That was necessary. That was a part of the provision that God had given. Now let's try to use that over in the New Testament, or in the 2 Kings 5 first. One more from the Old Testament. In 2 Kings chapter 5, you've got the case of Naaman the leper. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. Then Naaman, it says, after he had found out about this man Elisha, who he could go to, his servant, a girl had said this could be done. Says Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Now what happened? But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I thought to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he went and turned away in a rage. Said his servant, asked him, well, if he would have told you to do something great, you would have done that, wouldn't you? Naaman changed his mind. Verse 14 says, so he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a child, and he was clean. What do we have? we have the same thing again. We have God's part and man's part. God's grace was given in making Naaman clean. But he was giving that grace to make Naaman clean if he went to the river Jordan, not any river, and he dipped 7 times, not 6. There was what God had given, grace, but conditional grace. What happened with Naaman? Well, Naaman at first didn't believe, but later he did believe. Now when he was clean, why was he clean? Was there something magical in the river Jordan? No, there wasn't anything magical in the river Jordan. God had made a provision for him to be clean by grace. But he wanted Naaman to trust in him. So Naaman had to trust in him, which involved him doing something of showing that trust. And at the point of that obedience, what took place? He was made clean. He was made whole. Now, when you look at Acts chapter 2, do we not see the same thing in principle? In Acts 2, in verse 36, after Peter had finished this lesson pointing out that this Jesus that they crucified, he was the one that God gave. He was the fulfillment of the plan. When he was raised from the dead, that was exactly what God had prophesied through the Old Testament. And Peter winds up the lesson saying, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, what did they do? It's